This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hi, everyone. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to tell you about an exciting event coming up. Zentera is hosting an exclusive realtor event on Wednesday, June 18th from 5 to 9 p.m. to celebrate the upcoming launch of Atlin at Clayton Crest. It's all happening on the Westland rooftop patio in Langley. Enjoy delicious canapes, lively dueling pianos, and an unforgettable summer evening. Don't miss this rooftop celebration of West Clayton's most anticipated new community. And now on to the show.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say host, but of course, realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. Super excited for today. We've got Sunny Hom on the program. He is, of course, the founder and principal of Tandem Strategies. Sunny's been in the industry a very long time. We've had him on in the past. I think it was pre-COVID. So excited to get him back. And he's definitely one of the thought leaders in our industry. So super excited about this.
Yeah, no, it's great having Sunny back on the show, past guest fan favorite. I think last time he was with BD Living in this capacity.
Yes.
With BD Living. That was back probably 6-7 years ago. So it's great to finally get Sunny back on the show. What I really liked about today's episode is Sunny is working with different development companies across the Lower Mainland. So he's working with different companies in different situations with different projects, different types of properties they're trying to sell. So it's a really interesting take. And he kind of frames it as we're in this moment of fight or flight, which was a really Yes. interesting way of framing it. And we kind of unpack what he means. I mean, some of it's kind of obvious, but he's got different ways of thinking about it. So stay tuned for that for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait for this conversation. Before we get to this conversation, though, Matt, of course, we have the segment that remains nameless, a trivia segment about Vancouver, Vancouver real estate. And, you know, sometimes we even expand it right across Canada. Sometimes it's a little bit of pop culture. It's all over the yeah. map, but it remains nameless. And it's sponsored by Scalina Real Estate. So what do you got today?
That's right. And your track record's pretty good, actually. I'm quite impressed, I got to say. This week's, I think, should be an easy one for you, Adam. So the city of Vancouver just approved 3 rental towers, okay, that will be 37, 38, and 44 stories tall at the busiest transit hub, the busiest SkyTrain station in the city of Vancouver, okay? These 1,100 new homes, okay, this is what you have to answer. These 1,100 new homes will be in which Vancouver neighborhood, okay? So it was just approved. Before you actually answer, Adam, I can see you biting it. I think you know the answer to this one. You're biting it.
I'm gonna take.
You're chomping at the bit. You're not biting at the bit. Okay, but before you you give us your answer, I think we have a new listing we wanted to feature.
Yeah, Matt, we have a fantastic new listing, and it's over at our website, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is Unit 8 at 531 East 16th Avenue. Also known, the complex name is Hannah. This is a townhouse complex and a townhouse that we have listed. It's a 2-bedroom plus den. The den is easily converted to a 3rd bedroom. And this is, it's got a beautiful, almost 300 square foot rooftop deck with panoramic mountain and city views. Really spectacular. Just over 1,100 square feet. And what I love about Hannah and this townhouse is not only is it 2017, so still very new build, it is centrally located right between Main and Fraser on 16th. So you can go either direction. You got amazing cafes, restaurants, shops. Talk about a great location. So anyways, this is super exciting. Hey, not to mention the Broadway subway line, which will be at Main Street just a few blocks away. So very exciting.
We often talk about kind of around City Hall as being center ice maybe, but this to me feels like center ice as well. Like me, right between Main and Fraser on the Golden Mile, which is what we're calling 16th. Doesn't get much better than that. Check it out at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com where all our featured listings are. And while you're there, Adam, you can check out all the listings. You can also click sell with us and download the sold plan. This is our most downloaded document to date in the last decade. This is our most downloaded document. It starts for start on launch date. It's a document that helps you get your property ready for sale. It's free. It's immediate. Click sell with us at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. But let's get back, Adam, to this quiz question. Do you want me to repeat it or do you remember?
No, I think we're all good, Matt. I think okay. It's I'm gonna go commercial Broadway, Grandview Woodlands.
You know what? You're right again, Adam. This is in the news, so I was expecting you might get this, but 1,100 new homes have been approved in the Safeway, or the Safeway in the parking lot there. 10 years in the making, West Bank's involved, of course. The community's been divided on this one, but man, this is going to inject a lot of new people down the drive, I would say. So interesting times.
Is it finally time for me to take the No Towers sign off my front lawn? Sorry, I'm going to get lynched for that one.
Yeah, let's get to our talk with Sonny. I don't even want to touch it.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with two fitness areas, three children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's ATLINcondos.ca.
Okay, so we're here with Sonny Hom. He's the principal at Tandem Strategies. How you doing, Sonny?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back on the show. Great to be here.
I was going to say this is a guest fan favorite, but not when you were with Tandem. I think you were with BD last time and we were in a very different world. That was well before the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's been a while. It's good to have you back.
Yeah. It's almost a crime to say COVID-19 again after all these years, but yeah, that's a blast. Blast from the past. Yeah. But yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me back on. Really excited. And different capacity, but nonetheless, still talking about real estate.
Yeah. So Sonny, maybe for some of our listeners that haven't heard you on the show before, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. Sonny Hom. I've been working in the pre-con or pre-sale industry, working with multifamily developers here in Vancouver for the last 15 years. Currently, I lead Tandem Strategies, which is a consultancy firm based here in Vancouver. We focus on marketing and sales strategies. And where I spent over a decade and a half is working on both the developer side and as well as the real estate agency side. And most recently, as you guys mentioned, back when I was on the show, I was working internally with BD Living, leading their marketing and sales division, working on boutique projects, wood frame projects, town-owned projects, all the way through to master plan scale communities, and had a lot of fun and working with some of the smartest individuals at that company and with consultants working on various projects. And I thought a couple of years later, you know, I would be able to sort of apply that same level of service that I had provided for BD internally to other developers in the city. So here we are with Tandem.
That's great. You know, Sonny, I think we might have asked you this last time, but it'd be good to recap. Why real estate?
Sure, yeah. Why real estate, man? I got into real estate when I was interested in getting into real estate when I was studying abroad in Singapore during my university years. That's where like my fascination for real estate started. And then as soon as I came back home, it was an opportunity to combine my marketing background to a industry that I felt, yeah, just had a lot of impact to everyday life. You know, there isn't a single conversation where you can't find yourself or the topic of real estate being integrated or involved in. And I really think real estate is an industry, but it's more than just like a job or industry. Like it truly sits at the crossroads of business, like macroeconomics to culture and design, even like psychology to some degree, right? Like how people feel in a space. And every single day, like we get to work with great developers, designers, creatives to be able to explore all these different points when it comes to how to best position your product and, you know, how is that homeowner going to feel when they buy that home and move into that home, all the way to like even before they move into that home, like how do we create a brand or tell a story that's going to resonate with the market, and working with, you know, lots of creative individuals from, you know, different creative agencies and interior designers. So yeah, it's a fascinating world. And in short, I just think like the intersection of all those different elements coming together is what really, you know, keeps me going for all these years, or has kept me going for all these years.
Never gets boring, that's for sure. You know, Sonny, during your time with, well, I'm thinking specifically BD Living, but let's say your run up until founding Tandem, what experiences or insights shaped your approach to real estate marketing?
Yeah, I would say like at BD, I learned how to think long-term and across multiple disciplines. You know, when I say disciplines, there's a lot more than just marketing and sales, obviously. It starts with acquisitions. It starts with, you know, finance, development, construction, and then marketing and sales. And, you know, even past sales, it's the homeowner care. You know, it's the turning over of keys and making sure that the homeowners feel they're getting a home that, you know, is going to stand the test of time. And so one thing that I realized there, it's like marketing and sales can't live in isolation, and it has to be tied all together, right? Right from day one, when it comes to like, yeah, that acquisition strategy or that land strategy, and then how that evolves into product strategy and understanding who the target market is. So you design the right product for that. You know, then it evolves to, you know, having the right unit mix, working with development and architects, all the way through to pricing and timing, which timing is, I think, probably the most important factor that from a sales side, we could provide some insights to developers on you know, what the market conditions are, so they can try their best efforts to time the market, right? Although it's very, very difficult. But that experience as a whole, working with all these different departments internally, allowed me to have a lot more insights, like shared insights. And also that experience made me deeply analytical and collaborative in how I approach any projects moving forward now.
Was there a favorite project or like a notable project at BD that you worked on?
Favorite project? I would say the most...
Or yeah. Are they all your babies?
Yeah.
They're all your kids?
They all feel like our babies. It's just like the first, second, or third, or maybe fourth child. Yeah. But the most memorable project was a project that we launched at the height of COVID. And I told you, I gave you some grief there for bringing up COVID-19 earlier, but here I am.
We got to put a warning on the podcast now.
Exactly. During COVID, we launched a project called Kin Collection, which was 124 townhomes. And traditionally townhomes, you know, up until that point in time, even some of the largest sales and marketing groups, other industry consultants had mentioned to us, you know, you can't pre-sale townhomes, and especially at that scale, 124. And it was also at the height of COVID, which, you know, COVID happened like March 2020. I think we had launched Kin Collection July 2020. So this is before the run-up of the real estate market, before it really started taking off. But we made a deliberate decision back then to build out a presentation center, deliver an exceptional experience, both from like storytelling, marketing and sales strategies. Everything was just really dialed in. And when we had launched that project, no one knew really like what the outcome of the sales success would have been at Kin. And fast forward 7 months later, we were 90% sold out out of 124 homes. And I just drove by the site last month and it's completed. Homeowners moved in. It looks beautiful. BD's done a tremendous job on that project there. But that was probably the most notable or memorable project just because, yeah, it really did stress test a lot of different expertise and skill sets that were required across all departments. Like, you know, marketing and sales had to be super dialed in terms of understanding the products and how we're communicating that product out to the market. Development was super dialed and just really dialing down the perfect floor plan at different size ranges. And then construction in terms of execution, but also like the execution of even just knowing which features were going to be value adds versus which features we could pull out so that we could keep the pricing thresholds and the pricing expectations to be reasonable to the market was also critical. And on that note, like a specific example would be something like air conditioning. We knew that as we started to move forward, even townhomes similar to high-rise condos required air conditioning based on the purchasers coming in and all the market tours that we're having. And we relayed that to the construction team. And construction had sort of mentioned in order to put central AC in all the homes, it was going to cost us X. It might be too expensive for us to include. But what we had decided was we were going to pre-rough in all the wiring and the conduits so that in the future, should the purchaser want to put in air conditioning for themselves, they have the option to do so at their cost. So it still gave enough flexibility for the sales team to help overcome sales objections because it wasn't a hard no that we don't have AC. But also on the construction side or development side, it allowed us to move forward in a pragmatic manner or a way that pricing wasn't going to go off the charts, meanwhile still being able to deliver what the consumers wanted. So I think that was one of probably the thousands of decisions that were required that made that project very successful.
That's a really brilliant strategy. Thinking that I can't remember when I've seen that before.
Yeah,
really smart. Just thinking about Tandem. So, like, what was the goal with starting Tandem? Like, what did you see as a gap? Did you see a gap in the market that you were trying to fill?
Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, to be honest, when I first started, it's always like hindsight's 20/20, right? In hindsight, everything makes sense. But during the time, I've always had an entrepreneurial itch to start a boutique company where I could take my big shop experiences and apply it to many different developers that required the service, but perhaps just didn't know where to find this type of operational service and experience. And Tandem was really just built to bridge that gap. Like I call it a hybrid sales and marketing solution. In the tech world, they call it like white labeling software services is another way to look at it. But my goal with Tandem is we bring on the right experience, the right experts that are seasoned, that's been through many different cycles, like the ones that we're experiencing today, cut through all the layers, you know, in terms of the project team that is applied to our clients' projects, in terms of the information relayed. So yeah, I call it a hybrid solution when it comes to sales and marketing because we truly do try to work as an extension of our clients' team. You know, we have the expertise and the operational know-how to not just like create a great marketing strategy and a sales strategy, but also follow through in terms of like a hard-nosed sales execution with some of the great sales leaders that I have in my team that I have a privilege of working with, such as Lisa McDonald or Sharon Matsumoto. But really, we're here to move the needle for our clients, provide 100% transparency, and provide an agile experience and agile service so we could be responsive together with their clients in this changing market.
I think you mentioned offline, but it's you're a small group of six people, or maybe you said that in the podcast, but and you want to keep it that way. It's almost like you're, do you see yourself as like mercenaries? Like you go in and solve the problem and get out. Literally just thinking out loud, but actually I did have a question. What is, that's actually something you can respond to. I guess, what's the challenge of working with various developers? Because like at BD, there's presumably, you know, a culture that you were deeply enmeshed in. And with Tandem, you're working with different personalities, different kind of company cultures, different expectations. So far, what's been the biggest challenge, would you say, in Tandem's existence?
Yeah. Step number one is understanding what your client needs. And every client, shape of size, and their projects require something different. So I would say it's a good challenge in a way. Like that's the main objective, is to really drill down and tailor a scope of service that really matters to our clients. And I think it requires a lot of, just dialogue and experience to be able to piece together that recommendation that's going to help actually have a significant or like meaningful impact to our clients. But in terms of challenge with their clients, I would say it's like many boardrooms around the city right now are having the challenge is, how do we push this project forward? Whether it's already launched and it's mid-stride and we're not getting the sales activity that we need, or let's say, you know, we've hit our sales targets, but it's really a matter of like, how do we then get the project to reach a completion, like, you know, under construction and delivered to the homeowners. And every client has different push and pull like levers right now. Like, you know, whether it's financing on one group or another group might be just having the lack of internal resources to bring on the right experts to really deliver a quality product. I can't say there's like a common theme or like one single challenge, but I think the common challenge is really like the market's very fluid. It's dynamic right now. And in some ways we're somewhat in like uncharted territories when it comes to the general pre-sale industry right now and the challenges and the headwinds that we face. So our group's challenge with their clients is to kind of just sit down with them and really, one, empathize in the, you know, in the situation or the market conditions that we're faced with. And the second is like, how do we unravel, like, what are their pain points? Where are the tensions? And then like diagnosing a very specific prescription or like a recommendation package that's going to be relatable or meaningful for them. That's, I don't know if that answered that question, but
Totally did. Just thinking out loud, like, you know, the uncharted territories. One thing that struck me was your point when working at BD that, you know, pre-selling that number of townhomes, it was something that hadn't really been done. And presumably that's the idea there is it's, you know, pre-selling to end users. Whereas it strikes me the uncharted territory right now is it's basically end users in the market, right? Like that's a huge challenge right now, is that the whole marketing strategy has to shift to who's actually potentially out there looking to buy pre-sale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would say, the market, I say, you know, there's no, it's all secret. Like investors are, you know, they're not really as active as they once were, perhaps back in 2021 and before. I think the rules of engagement has like really shifted and changed significantly over the last couple of years, you know, coming out of COVID. You know, before it was a lot of interest rate talks, then it was, you know, construction costs going up, and then there was conversations around immigration cuts, and even, you know, in the last year, like with all these rental restrictions coming into place. But generally speaking, and you know, a lot of the macroeconomic factors have changed significantly where, yeah, investors aren't seeing the real ROI or the opportunity at the moment. But to your point, end users are in market, and we're very fortunate in the clients and the projects that we get to work with. And we've been very focused intentionally on working with groups that have ground-oriented product types that are naturally more focused with end users in mind. Some of our projects are completion and moving ready, and some are about a year or 2 years out, but they're still very much like an end user offering. But the common theme that I find in market right now are if a client is really focused on telling a great narrative, and that's around like focused on offering an end user driven product type in a lifestyle driven marketplace, like lifestyle driven submarket, I find the combination of those two are still enough to bring in real end user driven buyers to your project.
Yeah, actually, and last time we talked, Sunny, we were talking about how this year is basically a market characterized by fight or flight mentality. Can you kind of touch on that and elaborate on what you mean by that?
Yeah, sure. And this might be like a general comment, and this is, you know, obviously, for the audience listening to this, you know, everyone's having their own respective conversations, but just purely from my personal perspective and the conversations that we're having across some of the boardroom tables in the city that we're working with, you know, what we're seeing, and not just boardroom tables, I should say, like even speaking with other realtors and brokers and individuals that are very active on the front line of the market, the fight or flight mentality like is similar to one that we saw perhaps like just before at the height of COVID. Like no one knows, you know, the next step to forward. Like we don't really know what the net shakedown will be from all the tariff wars and like the tariff conversations that are taking place right now. You know, very similar to no one knowing exactly if the world is going to, you know, blow up or come back together, you know, during the height of COVID. And if I remember back like 2020 in July, like when we made that decision at BD internally with Kin Collection, we did have one of these fight or flight moments where either we hit pause on 124 townhomes to pre-sale because the market was, all the market data and information was telling us not to, or the alternative was to fight and we had to just double down on our strategy and double down on our execution and really just move forward at a cautious pace, right? And knowing with the opportunity that like if the market does open back up, then we could sort of turn on things or ramp things up harder and faster. And I see that in to some degree in today's market, like without knowing exactly what next month has in store for us, the conversation that we're having right now, it's like we're in a moment of extremes currently. You know, developers are either doubling down on strategy and fighting for every sale or market share, or on the alternative is they're saying we're pausing everything. We're canceling the projects, delaying our pre-sale launches because whether the fundamentals like a performa doesn't math out or they just don't have enough confidence in the pre-con and the pre-sale space right now. Meanwhile, I think buyers are also feeling the same way. On the buyer side, and I'm sure Adam and Matt, you guys can both relate as you guys working with other investors and end users on the reseller or any home buying side, is buyers are also split between fear and I think opportunity, you know, and those that are fearing right now, they're saying, we're not making any buying decisions. We're just going to wait and see and hold. But there's also buyers out there that are willing to fight in the sense where they believe that this is their opportunity to get in. And this is their opportunity to either, you know, move up a category into the like townhomes to single family, or go from a one bedroom or to a two bedroom or a three bedroom condo. But there is, I find like at all different levels right now, it's very dynamic. It's either you have enough information and market intel to help you stomach the risks and you're choosing to fight and double down, move forward. Or if you don't feel there's quite enough information for you yet, or your gut intuition, so I'm telling you it's not quite ready yet, they're choosing to fight and sort of take pause. And yeah, the only reason I sort of mentioned that is I think it's interesting to see that at all different levels taking place at the consumer level with buyers, especially with brokers right now. There's a lot of brokers and realtors that are choosing that mentality right now as well and advising that to their clients. And then also with developers. And as an industry and as a market, I truly believe the fundamentals are there where the market will come back. It's a matter of time. But most of the conversations that we're having is, you know, we're choosing to fight and like really, you know, be in the trenches right now with their clients and, you know, trying to knock down like a deal every week and just trying to grapple with every deal on how to put it together. It's not just myself, it's myself and a great team that I have the opportunity to work with. But yeah, that's sort of the market that we're experiencing right now.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible. This podcast is sponsored by Fenway by Caliber, bringing 209 new homes and 24,000 square feet of retail space to Willoughby Town Center.
And this retail component isn't just adding to the area, Adam. It's enhancing an already thriving community hub where neighbors connect over boutique shopping, great food, and everyday essentials. This is one of the final new construction opportunities to own in the heart of Langley's Willoughby Town Center.
And speaking of Langley, is it me or is Langley all you hear about these days? It's become such a powerhouse with over 7,000 businesses, the population set to double by 2040, and that SkyTrain extension arriving in 2029.
What's incredible about this location is that you're getting the best of everything. Your steps from the Langley Events Center, currently undergoing a massive $149 million expansion. The new Tennis Center and future Willoughby Community Center are right across the street. Plus, you've got the new Smith Athletic Park just down the road.
The location really is unbeatable, with 8 schools within walking distance and just minutes from Highway 1. And what I love is that this is a Caliber project. They're Langley locals with decades of experience who really understand this community. They've partnered with Polyco Group to bring decades of development expertise to Fenway.
With Langley's population set to double and transit connectivity expanding, this is your chance to be part of BC's fastest growing community. Register at fenwayliving.com. That's FENWAY living.com.
Fenway, where small town heart meets urban sophistication.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown. And we're the founders of Oakland Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia,
serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakland, please reach out to us at oakland.com/join and type into that message box, the rep, and you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much. And we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
Sunny, we talked about developers and buyers having this fight or flight mentality. You kind of touched on realtors. I'm just curious because it's an interesting moment where I think for a lot of people, it feels like flight is easier than quote unquote fighting. Can you talk about what you're seeing on the ground and how realtors are approaching this kind of this moment of uncertainty?
Yeah, absolutely. I think realtors specifically have had, you know, they carry a lot of influence with their clients and the prospects and homebuyers, and rightfully so. And as you mentioned, like it's easier to give a safer or more of a conservative recommendation, which at this stage is to not buy, wait and hold and see to what we have, you know, what happens, than it is to like lead with, like, it's a recommendation, but that might lead to, you know, a little bit more risk, right? For any realtors, even our jobs is to like really just outline the information and outline risk. You know, my job is to outline mitigate risk for developers. And I see that no different than, yeah, the realtors. Realtors is to mitigate risk for their home buyers to make the buying decisions. No different than how we would approach our conversation with our clients. I would encourage realtors the same thing. Like, you know, if everyone does just a little bit more, like 5 or 1% more of research, of trying to just understand the bigger picture, the macroeconomics of what's actually happening, like trying to connect all the dots, why the market is reacting to the way it does, or perhaps even like, not even at the macroeconomic level, like break down to a local submarket where we just had a conversation with one of the groups, realtor group, last week for one of our projects. You know, there's a fear of oversupply of condominium projects in market, which is true. But you really got to like cut through the noise and understand the real facts. And that, like, if we have a project on the west side currently, and the conversation that we had with them was, although it's true that there is a climbing inventory on the resale side, and further, there's a lot of pre-sale condominiums that are expected to complete that will be standing inventory in the greater parts of Metro Vancouver, if your client is specifically looking at the West Side and they want to be in the West Side market, I really encourage them to look at how many new projects are coming through to completion over the next 6 months to a year. How many projects have potentially even like been delayed or canceled for the time being? Point being is like, I think that general headline of 2,000 condominiums or 3,000 condominiums that will be standing inventory by the end of the year may not be as applicable to their clients. Because if their clients are only looking at the West Side, you know, there might be only a handful, or not handful, but a couple hundred units that might be sitting on market. And even then, they might not be the perfect location, product type, size, price point. So really, like, the conversation where we had with them was like, just dig a little bit deeper in terms of providing your clients with the right intel. And perhaps that might shift their perspective on things. And I'm not suggesting they have to buy pre-sale or they have to buy into this market, but we will only get more confident as the market starts to shape up. But the market will only start to take some shape and form if we all do, you know, a little bit more digging in terms of like really gathering the right information, the data, and helping our clients interpret that information. Because ultimately, like, going back to what I mentioned before, the fundamentals are there for Vancouver. Like, we are going to be faced in, you know, perhaps 2 to 3 years time from now with a supply constraint, with the lack of housing starts right now. And we will be faced where the resale inventory will work its way through. And, you know, is it the best time to advise your clients to buy in a market where they're not competing today? Or would it be the better to advise your clients in 3 years from now when everyone's competing for that same home, when there might be upwards pressures of price? And so, yeah, it's not really an advice, but just more so like an outlook or a perspective change, like a small 1 degree shift change, that if we all did that and we all shared in that belief, perhaps like we could get back to a market where it's a little bit more fluid and healthier quicker.
I think that's a really good point. It's funny, I was actually talking to a reporter last week about, like, all the headlines right now seem to be making, as headlines always do, broad generalizations about the state of the market. And I think actually it's a good thing to draw on. Like, as agents, you know, I think the role in many ways is to educate your clients and really understand the nuances of the market. And my point was, like, it's actually the mistake in the market right now is looking at it as like a one market, because when you start to dig deep and look at the submarkets, you realize that, like, condos in Burnaby, for example, are acting is a very different market than, say, townhomes on the West Side right now, you know, and one might be significantly busier or have like less activity going on. And so, yeah, there might be opportunities for buyers, but I think a lot of our buyers are shocked to go shopping in like an area like Mount Pleasant or Kits right now and actually have competition when they're writing offers because they're reading in the news the exact opposite, right? So I think you're right, is doing a deep dive and actually understanding not only the product and the submarket, but what's happening in that specific market and going deep, which I think a lot of people fail to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're here. That's part of our job and our sales team's jobs and our collective industry's job is to help educate homeowners, realtors, like really help each other in that process. And I kind of like boil it down to, like, we at times like overcomplicate things and we overthink things, especially as marketers. Mm. And I think in today's world, like, over communication with no clear message, where it just becomes noise and everyone's throwing out $100,000 off and you get a free Tesla or whatever it is, right? That just all becomes noise. And I think now is a time to really cut through that noise and simplify and educate, you know, and also do it with the level of relevance, like market data relevance, do it with the level of empathy with our clients and what the homeowners might be feeling and thinking about providing this information, and also do it with extreme clarity. You know, as exactly what you just mentioned, you know, every submarket is operating differently. Every product type is operating differently. But if we encouraged a realtor to just come into one of our presentation centers even and just spend time with their sales team so that we can help educate them, so then in turn they can go out there and help educate their clients, I can't help buck belief that believe that we can all, you know, help each other and ultimately help their customers or their clients get into a home at a desired price point and with the desired level of selection that they might have today versus 3 years from now.
You know, I think Adam kind of alluded to what we're seeing. Sonny, what's selling right now?
Just anecdotally, just purely from our projects that we're seeing right now and also like tracking the resale market. Yeah, as we said earlier, it's end user driven product types. And more in particular in the multifamily side, it's the multiplexes, it's the townhomes, it's the low rise, more ground oriented condominium format. We're very privileged to be working with Holborn. They are the master plan developers behind the Little Mountain, just off of right. East 33rd and Main, right in between Main Street and Canby. And that's been a long time master plan. And there's been a lot of eyes on that project for many, many years. And we're hopefully, we'll be bringing that project to market later this year, fall of 2025. But where we really focused on that project and like where we're doubling down is like truly trying to make that product type, although it's an apartment condo building. It's six stories, concrete. So really focused with the end user in mind. And the size of every unit plan in there is truly designed for an end user, whether they are downsizing or empty nesting from a single family home in the area, or they're a young couple moving from Yale Town to upsize into their two bedroom or one and den. Every home there has been designed with an end user in mind with that focus. So yeah, just to summarize what you sort of had asked was it's right now what we're facing is it's not just about price. It's not just about like getting the smallest, tightest home, like our smallest studio that's going to sell. It's really, I think the home that sells in today's market is one that reflects value and lifestyle, and that has to align. It's ground oriented product. And I think it certainly has to have not the highest end of luxury sort of finishes, but it has to be attainable for today's buyers. And when I say attainable, it's, you know, I think there is a level of like recalibration or a reset that's taking place on what pre-sales were, you know, in terms of the values and price points, perhaps even 2 years ago, and what the pre-sale pricing is expected now as we move forward in the next couple of months and the year forward.
And sorry, is that flowing through to the levels of finish, not with that project specifically, but in general, are you seeing shifts in terms of what the end product actually looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you one case study, and the very specific example is exactly that. There was a project that we were involved with that launched in 2023. It was called Adore 49th. Developer is Carney Group. Really boutique group, but they really pride themselves around a long legacy of building great homes and good construction. From the early days of strategizing the right products, the approach that we took there on that project was it's a wood frame mixed use building. And instead of going for all the bells and whistles, like the highest end appliance brands or the highest end finishing for the project, we actually went with, let's call it a like an economy plus type product type. So it's still the West Side. So we recognized that we still needed integrated appliances, but it was Fisher & Paykel instead of, let's say, Gaggenau or another real ultra high-end finish. We went with designing a truly efficient floor plan that allowed them to have some flexibility in terms of space. But ultimately, like we made sure we were ultra, ultra conscious of landing the spec and the product offering at a performa that the construction could reasonably deliver a home within a certain max sort of pricing threshold. And that max pricing threshold that we established in the rounds of conversations and the data that we were working towards was we needed wood frame product types to be under $1,450 a foot. Not even wood frame or concrete, but just in general, pre-sale condos back in 2023, we needed to hit to be under $1,450 a foot. And as a result, fast forward now, that project is 85% sold. We have a final 10 homes remaining. And we truly believe we attribute it back to like, yeah, we had an amazing sales team. We had a great marketing program. But where I think the difference was for that project compared to the offering in the West Side market was developer and our team, we just doubled down on doing our homework, due diligence, and delivering the right attainable product to hit a specific price point that the market required and needed at that point in time. I don't know if that, did that help answer that question?
Totally, yeah. Totally. Sonny, I keep referencing these conversations we've had in the past, but this is another reference to a conversation where you mentioned that the market needs leaders right now. And I really find it interesting, this idea of, you know, needing to cut through the noise and kind of harness data, but have a message. What in your mind does leadership look like in today's real estate environment?
Yeah, in today's market, leadership is, as you mentioned there, cutting through the noise, but it's really about providing clarity, not even, I would say, charisma. I really think it's not a market for brand building right now. It's a market of survival to some degree, right? It's a market of providing clarity and really being able to dig through and find the factual pieces of information, interpreting that and delivering that in a way where we could all face the current challenges of realities, like the realities that we live in. And so what that means is really leadership to me looks like being clear, being decisive, being honest about the challenges and focusing alongside our partners and our clients and understanding what the long-term game is and what the long-term sort of vision is for the project and also for themselves, and being ultra, ultra disciplined about that. So in any types of conversations that I would like to lead or help contribute towards leading is, yeah, just doing exactly that, trying to be as diligent in terms of my research and the work that we do, being as clear to my team and also to our clients in the market what needs to be done. And lastly, just being super aligned and just being very honest in our approach so that the clients feel supported through our efforts. And it's not about trying to get a fast sale and trying to blow in a building anymore, or trying to put on all these events where we draw in all these different realtors to have like oysters and fancy caviar and stuff. It's not, this is not the market for that. This is the market where we just all have to be very clear in our approach and be very intentional. So that's what leadership looks like in from my perspective, currently.
What's your best advice for those trying to navigate the current market? Like whether they're marketers, developers, agents, buyers?
Building off of the last question, best advice for today's market, act decisively, but don't act blindly. Like you need to do your homework. And once you have that homework done, be very decisive to build confidence. Ultimately, our market needs to build confidence right now. And it starts with just educating yourself and educating your clients with the market. Understanding your audience is another key factor in navigating today's challenging market. Knowing what the pressure points are for the homeowners to be able to really like put together even a sales incentive package or like a promotion package that isn't just noise, that has meaningful impact, I think will be really helpful. Whether you're a buyer or a builder or a developer, like hesitation and generally any pause in market or any hesitation is expensive. And they always say like, when's the best time to get in the market? And it's, you know, the best time to get into the market is yesterday, right? As many say. And I really believe that in today's market, where there are some opportunistic opportunities, I think if we're to have this conversation again, if you were to invite me back on, you know, if I'm lucky enough in 4 or 5 years from now again, you know, I think we'd look back to this call and say like, man, like this might've been the most opportunistic market to get back in versus hesitating and waiting, because that can ultimately be very expensive.
And I'm guessing, so like, I feel like in 2024, the headline was, survive till 25. What do you think the headline will be for this year?
This year?
Stay in the mix until 2026.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. trying to thrive while surviving. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I really do believe like the back half of 2025, more in particular for the resale market, my hope is we start seeing some positive movement there. And then for pre-sale, I do think there's going to be pockets of like many headlines and wins from particular projects and particular particular submarkets that'll come through and build some confidence on that. And we're hopefully alongside our clients on that for it. Just in general, like I really hope for the entire industry or the pre-sale industry that we start to see some positive wins and some good headlines. So it really helps all of us move forward together.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We do have this segment called the Five Wire, Sonny. Five lighthearted questions that we end the show with. Can you stick around for those?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
This podcast is sponsored by SkytrainCondo.ca. And full disclosure, this is our real estate platform. We've developed this platform because we kept hearing the same advice over and over again from our guests on the show.
Seriously, Adam, if there's one piece of advice we've heard more than any other, it's that the SkyTrain is the future of Vancouver. Every real estate expert, every urban planner, every developer we talk to says the same thing. Buy near the SkyTrain.
So we decided to do something about it. SkytrainCondo.ca is officially licensed by TransLink and focuses specifically on pre-sale condos and townhomes near SkyTrain stations.
Our platform lets you search specifically by SkyTrain line, by SkyTrain station, and by city, so you can find pre-sale condos and townhomes within walking distance of current and future SkyTrain stations.
And we built this because we truly believe what our guests have been telling us, that SkyTrain connectivity is going to be the defining factor in Vancouver real estate values for decades to come.
So check out SkytrainCondo.ca, because the SkyTrain is the future, and the future is now.
Number one book that you've read recently that you would recommend for our listeners?
Oh, one book, Atomic Habit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a crowd favorite.
Adam's favorite book.
Is that been mentioned before?
It's up there. I read it every year just to remind myself to go to the gym.
Yeah, totally. It's a 1 degree shift, right? It's the small little pivots. Yeah.
Hasn't worked yet, by the way, but hoping one of these years it will.
In the last few years, Sonny, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life? And actually, you're a new dad, so you're probably creating a lot of new...
Don't skew the question, Matt. We don't know.
Take that away. What is it?
Yeah, a new belief is that sleep is the ultimate form of currency. That's for sure. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But yeah, in terms of habit, I think just building on the other question there about Atomic Habit, just like small, like I'm trying not to like change things or like get to like 0 to 100 all at one step. It's just taking mini steps, 1 degree shifts, what they call just always trying to have the mindset of just kicking the ball like 1 yard down the field. And ultimately, the belief is that we'll get down to the end zone in a matter of time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's great.
Question number three. What have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
Ooh, to be honest, being a new dad, I haven't been able to watch too much TV or movies recently. But I would say there is, my background's Korean, okay? And you guys, for some people that like Korean dramas or Korean shows, I'm not a huge K-pop aficionado, but there's a show that's called When Life Gives You Tangerines on Netflix that my parents got me on, and I've been hooked.
Wow.
And apparently it's been the most popular show on Netflix over the last season. So if anyone's interested, give that show a go, because I'm sure that wouldn't be on the top list. Yeah.
What is it about? It's about K-pop?
No, it's a Korean show, but it's a drama about a family going through their life, and it's just a nice heartwarming TV sitcom, or drama. But anyways, maybe if that's not, that would be probably the only TV show that I've watched in the last 3 months or so since my baby's been born. Yeah.
I've been told that if you want your wife to think less of you, watch Korean dramas with her. That's what I've been told. Apparently the men are quite romantic and
lots of love triangles.
I've avoided them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Maybe keep it that way. That's sound advice.
A favorite band or music, Sonny?
I've been a huge fan of Post Malone. I would say Post Malone or Labyrinth are typically my top two on Spotify. Yeah. Although I'm not a huge fan of Post Malone going down this country route.
I was going to say, you're...
In a while, yeah.
you started out in hip-hop and now you're in country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gosh, my street cred just nosediving here. edit this part out, yeah.
Last but not least, Sonny, something that you've purchased for under $1,500 that's had a positive impact on your life in the last few years.
So hard. Just all towards a kid right now. But I would say best $1,500. I don't know if it's $1,500. You got to ask my wife, but we bought one of those. It's called a Snoo. It's like a sleep bassinet and it helps rock the baby to sleep. And that's been lights out, a huge hit at the house right now. And I truly mean this, like sleep is the highest form of currency right now for, I'm sure, any new parents that they can relate to. Yeah.
You're in the thick of it. You're in the thick of it right now. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say it gets better, but.
Oh, yeah.
how can people find out more about what you're up to, Sonny, with Tandem Strategies?
Yeah, you could check us online. To be honest, we have a landing page that we are working towards a full website, but we've been very fortunate to keep busy over the past couple of years just through a lot of word of mouth, to be honest. And so to get in touch, you could go online to www.tandemstrategy.ca or shoot me an email just simply at hello@tandemstrategy.ca to get in touch. And I'm very much an in-person, I like to sit down with every group that we, partner with or do a lot of work with. So yeah, we'd love to get in touch, grab coffee, a drink, dinner, whatever it is, lunch, and go from there.
Perfect.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for your time, Sonny. That was great. And yeah, we'll have to have you back on and not have it be 4 to 6 years or whatever the last time we had you on. Yeah. We'll do it sooner, hopefully.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's been a pleasure.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Sonny Hom from Tandem Strategies.
Really enjoyed having Sonny on the show. Always great talking to him. Super well-spoken, really analytical.
Thoughtful guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what a great episode. I know that a lot of people know Sonny in the community and will be definitely paying attention to what he has to say about the market conditions. And I got to say, because we're fresh off of our conversation with Neil Crystal, which was a big get for the podcast. Of course, he's the president and CEO of Polygon. And he was on the show just last week. If you didn't hear that episode, definitely go back and listen. I think it's 4 decades of market wisdom. Is the title of the episode. And we've been getting a lot of people reaching out, just expressing their gratitude for that conversation. And I think in reality, it's so good having someone like Neil comment on the market. So if you haven't heard that, go back and check it out. And what another great one with Sonny. So these are just serving them up, Matt, serving them up. Good content. And it's going to keep coming.
It is going to keep coming. And we got some great guests, including Clint Murphy coming back show, which is always exciting. Everybody always gets excited when Clint comes back on the show. And I think that one might even be next week. So
you know what I love about,
stay tuned.
You know what I love about Clint Murphy? Well, there's a lot of things I love about Clint Murphy, but his candidness. He definitely is willing to kind of speak freely about what he believes in. He's passionate. Yeah. He's got conviction and he knows what he's talking about.
And he's whip smart. He's web smart too. So that always helps.
Definitely.
Adam, what else do we have before we cut for the day? We have, of course, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for all things real estate related, including things like the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer where you get stats before anyone else, different types of stats where you can dig into sales ratios and find out what's happening in your neighborhood or a neighborhood you're interested in based on property type, based on price point, really useful stats.
We have, of course, also VIP access to pre-sales, deal of the month. There's so many reasons to be on the live wire. We also have, of course, Adam, tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using private client services, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get days on market. You get sold prices. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click buy with us and you can set up your own free account. And of course, what a time to be monitoring the market. This for sure is the best way to be monitoring new listings. So if you don't have your own free account, sign up. It's the way that we monitor the market, and it's a great way to do so. And Matt, how can people get in touch with you?
In touch with me at any point, 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
And of course, we have that Kokomo line, info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Well, have a great week, everyone. And we're back next week with another terrific episode.
Have a great week. Take care.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.